Good morning and welcome to Words Out Loud, a fortnightly program designed for readers and writers who live in the northern areas. There will be local news, writers' tips, and a chance for you to be involved as well with our five-word challenge. I'm Joanne Baker. Let me introduce today's panel. We have Carolyn Corden, author and poet.
Hello, everybody.
Marilyn Simpson, PBA host of Easy Does It and regular panel member and poet.
Hello, everyone.
And our interviewee for today, she has published a short story anthology called With a Twist of the Nib, and currently publicising her second book in The Adventures of Viola Stewart, Eye of the Beholder and Other Tales, Karen J. Carlisle.
Greetings.
First up, let's hear what's been happening in the writer's world in the last fortnight.
Okay, so we've had a very interesting workshop at Northeastern Writers with Louise Nicholas, and she always does a good
she
workshop.
Always does a funny workshop.
Everybody there had a great time, I think, and learnt much, I'd say.
I've seen the Facebook posts and it looked like it was an awesome night.
Yes, and also there's been the Gawler Poets at the pub and we had some new readers there and very exciting
you
stuff.
You featured John Malone, didn't you?
Yeah, John Malone
who we featured last week. Yeah, he was pretty awesome.
Yeah, he went good.
He was. And your Write Yourself Well workshops.
And my Write Yourself Well workshops are still going strong and they're at Poetic Justice Cafe and Gallery in Gawler. That's it every Sunday at 11 in the morning.
It's one of the most wonderful things when you express yourself. You can get a whole lot off your chest without hurting yourself too badly. It's a wonderful thing.
It's a very gentle and easy workshop for someone who doesn't know a lot about poetry but wants to get into it or look at creative writing ways to help themselves through troubled times.
Yeah, it's a healing workshop. It's a great idea. Karen.
Yes.
Tell us about the SpecFic group.
Oh, yes, we have a writing group and we meet on the first and third Fridays of the month at the Tea Tree Gully Library, the best place in the world.
Oh, it's a wonderful library, that one.
Yep.
You guys meet sort of near the information section in the back history corner.
Yes, down near the history section, yes. And I know the historian there very well now.
Yes, he's a wonderful guy. And you do a heavy critiquing.
Yes, we share our stories or what we're working on and we do a heavy critiquing and editing. So it's based so we can get things done and finished towards publication.
And it's all about speculative fiction.
Yes, speculative fiction, which is, do you know what that is?
Oh, I want you to tell us all.
Okay, it's basically fantasy, science fiction, steampunk, which I like, anything like that. They used to call it sci-fi and fantasy, but now they tend to call it speculative fiction because you're speculating about things.
Well, yeah, sci-fi and fantasy is actually rather limiting.
It is, yes.
Speculative.
Steampunk's fun.
Yeah, changes in time, place and everything else. It's awesome.
I love twisting with history.
Me too. After the break, we'll have the writer's tip of the day with Connie Berg.
If you're an adult who has difficulties with reading, writing or spelling, the Reading Writing Hotline has some very good news. It can actually be easier to take the plunge and improve your reading and writing skills than to keep putting it off. Phone the Reading Writing Hotline and find out how. Their number is 1300 655 06. That's the Reading Writing Hotline, and they're there to help.
1300 655 06.
Go on, take the plunge.
Welcome to Words Out Loud. This is Connie Berg. Today we're talking about connotation. Connotation refers to a meaning that is implied by a word apart from the thing which it describes explicitly. Words carry cultural and emotional associations or meanings in addition to their literal meanings. For example, Wall Street literally means a street situated in Lower Manhattan, but it also refers to wealth and power. There are positive and negative connotations. Words depend on the social, cultural, and personal experiences of individuals. For example, the word childish, childlike, and youthful have the same denotative but different connotative meanings. Childish and childlike have negative connotations as they refer to immature behavior, whereas youthful implies a person that is lively and energetic. Be careful how you use connotations. Their suggested meanings have different meanings in different cultures. A dog connotates shamelessness or an ugly face. A dove implies peace or geniality. However, home may suggest family comfort and security, or not, depending on what your experience of home may be. Connotation can take many forms in literature. It can be metaphorical, Shakespeare metaphorically compares thee to a summer day. It can use irony or satire, and it can use allegories. George Orwell's Animal Farm uses allegories in proliferation because the pigs in the novel connotate wicked and powerful people who can change the ideology of a society. Another figure of speech that makes use of connotation is metonymy, which describes a thing by mentioning something else which it's closely connected. For example, Robert Frost's poem Out, Out says, "As he swung toward them, holding up the hand, half in appeal, but half as if to keep the life from spilling." In the line, "the life from spilling," the word life connotates blood. It does make sense because a loss of blood may cause a loss of life. Connotation provides symbolic meanings for words and objects that are different from their literal sense. Connotation paves the way for creativity by using figures of speech. Had writers contented themselves with only the literal meanings of words, there would have been no way to compare abstract ideas to concrete concepts. Connotative meanings of words allow writers to give meaning to their works. For Words Out Loud, this is Connie Berg.
Thank you, Connie. Always informative. Marilyn.
I've got the quote of the day for you. It's from Sir Terry Pratchett, and it is, "The first draft is just you telling yourself the story."
And that is so true. I've got no idea where my story's heading until I write it. Mm-hmm. It's the first time I've ever heard it. It's awesome. It's a great quote.
Carolyn was saying, if you just keep it in your head, it drifts away.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I hadn't thought of that.
I can't think of how many stories that have disappeared because I haven't been bothered writing them down. But, yeah, that's another story.
Online with the world, on song with the community, PBAFM 89.7.
Now, today we are interviewing a self-published author who has written a short story anthology called Twist of the Nib, and she has written the second in her adventures of Viola Stewart, Eye of the Beholder and Other Tales, Karen J. Carlisle. Karen, tell us about your books.
Okay, well, they're Victorian steampunk mysteries. I think I just read way too much Agatha Christie when I was a kid. And each book, each paperback book, is a collection of short stories and novella, which is very much the form of writing that would be happening in Victoria times. They had novellas a lot, and then they had really long books, which were two or three books long. And it tells the stories of Viola, who's a optician. She went to medical school in Edinburgh, but wasn't allowed to become a doctor because that's, you know,
that era.
And so she became an optician, and she reads way too many novel stories, and she just, you know, they did happen. If, you know, Arthur Conan Doyle is a friend of hers who's in there occasionally, you know, in passing.
Name dropper.
He often is giving her books, and so she tends to go out and investigate things, and she has a little posse that goes along with her and tries to help her or...
Yeah. So they're mysteries, but they're set in a Victorian alternate era.
It's an alternative history, so... certain things are still happening, as in per history, and other things have been changed. In my particular one, something happened to Queen Victoria when she was very young, which is actually in the first book, and she's outlawed a lot of steampunkery type gadgets, and so you have to have an actual permits to have them. As the next series comes out in the same world, you will learn more about that.
All right. Give us a little overview of the first
book. Okay, so the first book, think of what if Jack the Ripper was being organised by a secret society in their nefarious plot to take over the empire?
Ooh.
Dum, dum, dum.
Dum, dum, dum. I have to ask, why would he be killing prostitutes?
Oh, you'll have to read the book.
Ooh.
That's a spoiler.
Good way to drag
That's
you in.
That's a spoiler.
I like it. All right.
And the second one is about mummies, because I tried to pick things that are very Victorian. And so it's about mummies, murder, curses and madness, you know. Uh-huh. Bedlam was always a big thing. They
Well, they had a lot of syphilis back then.
They did have a lot of syphilis back then. Well, you know, these things
happened.
And then they tried to use mercury to make it better, which didn't.
Which wasn't helpful.
Made you even madder.
Mm-hmm. Yes, heavy metal poisoning never works well, does it?
And I'm currently writing the third one, which is called The Illusioneer and Other Tales. So it's about illusionists and magicians and stuff. Very Victorian.
So when did you start writing?
I started writing when I was 9. So I actually wrote one of the very few poems I've actually written. I actually won a Book Week poem competition and I got won the book West of the Winditions. Do you remember that?
I can't say I do, but I believe I won that.
So I always wanted to be a writer or an artist or a photographer or an astronaut or, as I was saying before, Doctor Who's next companion.
We all want to be Doctor Who's next companion. That's admirable.
When I left school, I did a sensible job instead and I had a couple of forays into writing and things didn't, for various reasons with exes and stuff, didn't happen. And then certain other things happened with my real life and I had to quit my job due to different health issues. And so I thought, well, why not take up writing again? My husband's very supportive of that. I secretly think he wants to be on my arm when I go and meet famous people if I ever become a famous writer. That's my theory.
Absolutely. Can you imagine, you know, J.K. Rowling's having a husband on the arm? That'd be worthwhile.
So I took up writing because I thought I can't go back to my old profession. So this is my new career, hopefully.
Sometimes these things are meant to happen.
That was about 2013, 2014.
And you're loving what you're doing now?
Yes, most days, except for when I can't think of an IR word.
writer's block is the eternal problem.
Yeah. Do you have a special place to write?
Several. As long as I can see the garden's a good one. So sometimes it's a front room. Sometimes it's at my standing desk, depending, because I get back problems. Or sometimes it's at the kitchen table. Or sometimes it's in the car while waiting for school pickup. Or the other day it was my husband was driving and we stopped at the petrol station. I had an idea. So I actually have a notebook in my bag and by the bed and all over the place.
Writers have a collection.
I have a very big collection of notebooks.
It's very sensible. If you're planning on writing a novel, collect a whole pile of notebooks and place them with pens around your house.
And try and keep them where you can actually find them, because I've got them all over the place. I find them go, 2 years later, oh, wow, did I really write that? Wow. If I wish I'd found it last week.
My husband actually bought me one of those diver's pads that you
can write with. So you can write in the bath.
Because when I go in the shower, because I, to relax down and 11:30 at night and you go, oh, I got an idea. Don't talk to me until I write my idea down. So he's bought me a diving.
That's an excellent idea, actually.
What a great husband you have.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I never knew there was such a thing.
He's pretty yummy too.
I can't tell you how often I've been in the middle of a shower and just the rhythm of the water has created something that makes you want to write.
You relax and you can actually get into your subconscious a lot better if you want to know.
I think you're right
medical
there.
Stuff of it, yeah.
It's all about accessing that secret part that don't really think too hard about.
Oh, yeah.
And seeing where it leads you.
Scary places.
Now, how do we go about getting hold of your books?
Okay, well, you can, there's a couple of ways. If you want to buy them direct, you could buy them off my website. Is this where I plug my website?
Absolutely.
www.karenjcarlisle.com. How hard's that? And there's
a
shop.
It's rather simple.
You can go to the shop and actually if you go there, you can actually buy online as well from iBooks and Book Depository and Fish. There's a whole heap of stuff, but if you go to the shop page on my website, it actually tells you all the places you can go. So if you've got a favourite place you buy from, you can also buy them from Amazon and Smashwords as ebooks as well.
Wonderful. And for the first caller in today on our phone number,
8250 3735. That's 8250 3735.
We have the first two books in the Adventures of Viola Stewart, Journal Number 1 and Journal Number 2 by Karen J. Carlisle. The first person to ring in on our number will get both copies of that book. You're listening to Words Out Loud on PBA FM 89.7. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook. After this short break, we'll play our latest radio drama by a local author. And following that, we'll have your chance to be involved with the 5-word challenge. So get your pencil and paper ready.
Now on PBA FM at 2:30 on Wednesday afternoon, Living in the 70s with Bruce.
I'm living in the 70s.
You can also request your favourite 70s song by phoning the station number on 82503735 or SMS me on 0402 542 893. Living in the 70s with Bruce. Wednesday afternoons between 2:30 and 5:30. PBRFM 89.7.
This is a PBAFM radio drama. Well, by F.J. Willett.
Well, it was quite shocking. Terry was as drunk as a skunk and then he dropped his pants and farted right in the middle of the dance floor. I was absolutely mortified. To think any man could do that. To think any man going out with me could do that. The next day, of course, he was all in contrition.
I'm sorry, Joan. I don't know what came over me.
Alcohol, I expect.
Yeah, alcohol. I'm not normally like that, Joan. Honest.
I should hope not, Terry.
In fact, is it the 10th anniversary?
The what?
Anniversary. 10th. Of Carol's death. My first wife.
And that's the reason you dropped your pants in the middle of the dance floor and...
emitted a flatulence, yes.
Precisely.
Yes, no, it's the reason I got drunk. The fart just happened.
I'm not sure I want to go out with a man where those sort of things just happen.
Believe me, it'll never happen again.
So you say.
Yes, well, I do say. And generally I'm pretty good like that. I mean, I don't drop my dacks in public. Well, I never have before. And the fact is I don't normally drink. Well, social drink, yes, of course, but rollicking drunk, never. Well, never before that. That's it. I've never done anything like that before. Of course, it does make me worry about you.
It does make me worry about you. What happened? Why?
Why? One day she was there, the next day she was gone.
Your first wife, Carol?
Yes.
How did she die?
Ah, that's the thing.
What thing?
The thing I don't know, how she died.
You don't know?
No.
Well, that's impossible. You must know.
There's no must about it. They wouldn't tell me. They just said, oh, she's dead. Sorry about that.
But surely they'd have to.
There's no surely about it. Governments do what they like.
Governments?
Special services or something or other.
Your wife worked for the government.
Well, sorta. I never really knew what she did.
But she died.
Well, they said she died. And they gave me a death certificate.
And what did that say?
Just her name. The rest was redacted.
Redacted?
Yeah, that's where they black out part of the text with a whopping great black texter.
So how much did they cross out?
Everything but her name.
Everything?
Sometimes I wonder if she really is dead. But she must be, of course.
So once in a while it becomes too much and you go off the rails?
No, this is the first time I've ever...
Yes, this is the first time you've ever...
Yes, absolutely, the first time.
You're upset. I understand that.
I guess I,
No, I perfectly understand. Let me go get you a drink.
Tarjone, you're a good egg.
I got him a drink. It was entirely my fault. I got him one drink, then two, then three. Then before I knew it, he was rollicking drunk. He staggered to his feet, lurched to the middle of the room, dropped his pants and... If you think I'm going to put up with that...
I'm sorry.
That's what you said last time.
I mean it.
But you did it again.
Well, yeah.
And ripe.
It was a bit.
I can't help but feel that something ought to be done.
What?
About the death certificate. All this redacted bits. You've got the right to know, Terry. They've got a responsibility to tell you.
Yeah, but they won't. It's government.
And you need to see a doctor about...
About?
Your flatulence, it pongs something terrible.
That was Well by F.J. Willett. The part of Terry was played by Mike Hurd and the part of Joan was played by Sharina Winton. This was a PBA FM radio drama.
It's time for the five-word challenge. Last week, we took our five words from John Malone's latest book of poetry, Seeing Things. They were red, yield, snail, piranha and gazebo. I've got one here from Alex. The red goldfish, an introduced species in a Brazilian tributary to the Amazon River. Nothing to yield these poissons in the clear waters, the snails, easy prey for the piranhas. When nothing more substantial enters the liquid. Gazebos, a European structure, not found where caiman roam on the banks of South America's largest waterway.
Well done, Alex. Carolyn.
Okay, my poem is called Discussions, and it goes like this. It's not as learned as Alex's ever will be, but that's okay. We're different kind of people. Mine's very simple and sweet. Not sweet, actually. Sweet, simple. It goes like this. As I said, snails and piranhas gathered together at the gazebo for a poetry reading. Heated talks arose, rhyming or non-rhyming, neither would yield. Neither side would yield, and discussions went on well into that night, then the next day, and then the next.
Like that.
Well done.
I can't imagine how that happened, but...
Well, our guest author has written this wonderful piece. Now,
I didn't know it was supposed to be a poem.
It doesn't have to be a poem.
Creative writing doesn't have to be.
Before we read this, perhaps you'd like to tell people about your offer.
So for anyone listening today, you can get a free e-book copy of with A Twist of the Nib, which is my short story collection. And if you go to Smashwords and Google that, I'll give you the URL, but it's really long, so you might be easy to Google, but it's smashwords.com/books/view702229. But if you go to Smashwords and just Google With A Twist of the Nib, and then when you go into there, you put in your coupon code, so everyone listening can use this one. It's BX, that's X for X-ray, 46C. So BX46C, if you use that coupon code, then you get 100% off, so you get a free copy. And that's until the 16th, so 2 days. You've got to get that.
What a wonderful offer. Thank you, Karen. This is her piece, using the words in the five-word challenge. It's called Enjoying the View. Henry was a fashionable snail. At least he thought he was. He'd recently taken up residence by the river. He lounged under his brand-new red gazebo and surveyed the spectacular view. A wooden sign by the water shaded the yard from the midday sun. A fine crop of broccoli provided an abundant yield for his supper. Ripples glistened on the water. Perfect. He just couldn't understand why his friends hadn't joined him. Water splashed. He crawled out of the shade and edged towards the water. So cool. So inviting. Why had his friends been so concerned? Humphrey, don't go near the water, they'd cried. Humphrey leaned closer and touched the water. It shuddered. A large eye blinked under the surface. The piranha licked his lips, flicked his tail, and swam away from the bank. Had he eaten it yet? That's the question. Ooh, we just don't know.
Well, he was licking his lips.
It sounded like he enjoyed it.
This is mine. It's called A Battle. The snail saw red. Never, he shouted. Never shall we yield. This gazebo is ours. The marauding chickens entered in their twos and threes, relentlessly, viciously pecking, pecking piranhas from the coop, taking all before them. In years to come, old hens would cackle, "Remember the gazebo!"
I like that one.
Oh, well done, Marilyn.
Did we get one from Colleen Moyne?
I've got Colleen's one, but we've also got Laurel Sandilands, who's a regular contributor, and Carolyn's going to do justice to her words this time.
Okay, this is Laurel's poem. It goes like this. Am I seeing things? No, there's a snail in the gazebo. Oh, well, I will yield to my laziness and just put it in the pond rather than search for more to make a tasty snack of creamy garlic escargot. Oops, forgot about the piranhas. Yes, the water's turning red.
There goes lunch.
So much for escargot. Well done, Laurel. Very well done. We have here from Colleen Moyne, who's a regular contributor. Thanks, Colleen. She has written that she's hope she's not too late to submit this. It's called Spring Yield. No, it's not. She just hopes she's not too late to submit this. And it goes like this. Spring yields a bountiful garden of lush red azaleas and bright yellow daffodils. They form a guard of honour along the path that guides me to the welcoming shade of the old gazebo. I stop to inspect a leaf or two, picking off the odd adventurous snail, slow motion piranhas of the plant world. Very true.
That's clever.
Very true. All right, Carolyn.
Okay, now we take our next five words from Karen J. Carlisle's latest book in the Adventures of Viola Stewart, Eye of the Beholder and Other Tales. Those words are grinding, tranquil, warden, sputtered and jaundiced. That's grinding, tranquil, warden, sputtered and jaundiced. You can email your resulting five-word challenge to wordsoutloud.pba@gmail.com or post to our Facebook page on Words Out Loud or send them to Box 433 Salisbury 5108.
That's going to be an interesting set of words. I'm really looking forward to seeing that one.
Those words, and then you've got tranquil in there too. It makes an interesting juxtapositioning.
It will be very interesting. Well, thank you so much, Karen. That's just awesome. All right, coming events.
Okay, Adelaide Plains Poets Group will be meeting, as we do every Thursday, at the Prince Albert Hotel at 4 o'clock. And I've got every Sunday at 11 o'clock at Product Justice Cafe Gallery, there's the writing workshops, Write Yourself Well, at 11 o'clock in the morning. Northeastern Writers.
Third
Thursday, which is next Thursday, day after next, at the Teacher Gully RSL, 7 o'clock.
7:30.
That's right. Thank you.
No worries. The Tea Tree Gully Poetry Festival is coming up. That'll be starting in June. We're going to be going around to a whole pile of schools, including some high schools this year, and giving people an idea of what poetry, contemporary poetry, is all about. So that should be interesting. And the title of the competition this year, the subject you have to write on, is In the Wild. Ooh. So that will be very interesting. So keep your ears peeled for that. I'll give you more information coming up.
And I forgot to mention the reason that Adelaide Plains Poets was there is because Adelaide Plains Poets have got their poetry competition. The subject is freedom and entries close on the 13th of April and the details will be available on the Words Out Loud page.
We'll make sure that they're up there for everyone who wants to know. Two great competitions, excellent prizes, and both with a chance to get your writing published in their anthology that's created from all the works.
Spec fic chic.
All right, got it all wrong that time, didn't I? All right, try it again. You can do it this time.
Yeah, I'm going to get it right. So Spec Fic Chic is the first and third Fridays of the month at Tea Tree Gully Library. On the first one we do a workshop for writers and on the third one, the third week, is just a critique. So we are pretty full for members, but if someone wants to come along and for the workshop, that's probably the best one to come along and have a chat to us.
It's a small, intimate group that does not extreme. That sounds a bit wrong, extreme critiquing. It is thorough critiquing.
Yeah. Thorough is a wonderful word.
Always the point of critiquing is to get your words to be better and more effective. So this is the whole basis of all of these writers' groups. Well, thank you everyone for being a part of the show. Thank you, Marilyn.
You're most welcome.
Thank you, Carolyn.
I had a wonderful time.
And thank you so much, Karen.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you everyone for listening.